Good morning.
Good morning, boys and girls. I want to make sure we're not getting too crazy there.
Because we were kind of loud last week?
We were a little loud last week. I think we're doing okay this week. It doesn't seem too out of this world crazy.
Tim.
It's Monday, buddy. Can you believe it?
You look a lot taller than me today.
Maybe it's just the angle at which I'm sitting.
Or the angle at which I set up the camera.
That could be it as well.
Sat like this?
Erica's wondering what kind of ick are we talking. We'll get there.
The icks.
We've got all sorts of icks to cover.
We've got ministry icks to be discussed.
Ministry icks need to be talked about. If you have a ministry ick, go ahead and start thinking about it because we want to hear from you.
We want to discuss if it also gives us the ick. Tim, we need to talk about what happened yesterday.
I don't know exactly what happened, but I'm listening.
Well, you know, we've had tech issues galore that we had none of them yesterday.
That's good.
Now
that's a good thing.
The board that our sister church Lakeview gave us is officially dead.
What?
It's almost like it was struck by lightning a few years ago, and
we
just
repaired that thing.
Never
to the
quite.
Tune of several hundred dollars.
Well, it's dead.
Is it really dead?
It's dead.
Dang
and has been.
Well, it probably didn't help that it got struck by lightning here too.
It didn't get struck by lightning. It got struck by
creatures,
bloating. You know, electrical, whatever. But Tim, so we were just running around like crazy because we were trying to get the mix right for the live stream and for the people that sit outside. I have my old laptop in the worship center running the live stream these days. And for the first time, instead of just being under my profile, I had created a church live stream profile that anyone can log into to do things, but like a dummy, I forgot to connect it to our Dropbox, which has our pre and post music and slideshows and stuff.
Mm.
So I was changing up all the stuff, and I didn't look up.
Oh no!
To be ready for church.
Oh no!
Until it was like 9:52, which you know
that's a little bit
late. 10 o'clock service. Where I'm usually all the way ready about 9:20, but we were.
It happens.
Like I said, we were doing mixes for the live stream, and
I get it.
And Tim, I look outside. First of all, I look in the room, and it's very near empty. And I'm like, ooh, is this
9:52?
Is this a weird Sunday? We're a late coming crowd. Parking's always tight. We've got the market on Main Street just outside. And so there's usually by the second song, we're a lot fuller than we are at 9:52.
Same. Second song is when people are coming in.
But Tim, we have standing room only for our outdoor seating section.
Hmm.
There's at one point there were like 20 people outside. We have 12 chairs that are just the folding chairs that are.
Was the weather that good?
It was. I guess it was a nice day. We had one couple that showed up with their dog, and they didn't know if the dog was going to get along with the other dogs there because there were so many dogs.
You were a dog-friendly zone.
That they
dog-friendly church.
The husband came in to save seats. She went home and took the poor dog that thought he was coming to church yesterday.
He just wanted to hear.
They just live a few blocks away, so she went home and took the dog home and then came back.
Poor guy. What if he was being a good boy?
He was being a good boy. He wanted to go to Sunday school and learn about the love of God.
He wanted to go to doggy Sunday school. And instead, he got sent to the doghouse back home.
It was something I hadn't seen before. And then you have all the pressure of we have a new mix going into the ATEM, which then goes
out to
the outside people. And there's people that I've never seen before sitting outside.
Mm.
And it sounded great.
Good.
It's
this story ended so much better than I thought.
There's
it would.
Something about
that scared me.
We have an old analog board that's like a studio board from the 70s.
Is that what you brought back?
Until we get a new board. And so you just can't mess it up, you know? There's extra amps running and things until everything is.
Andrew, would you like me to send a certain company that we hired to run sound at Lakeview down here to?
I think we'll be okay. We've got a sound tech who's handling things for us.
Okay,
but
I don't mind sending them down for a bit.
It started off pretty scary and it turned out great, Tim.
Well, I mean, I'm glad that all that happened because yesterday was Sunday.
And this right here
is the morning.
It's the morning after.
Welcome to the Morning After Ministry Show, a caffeine-fueled look back on the week and ministry that was.
Well, folks, happy Monday to one and all. My name is Tim. This is Andrew James Larson, AndrewJLarson@gmail.com if you need to get a hold of him. Dr. Larson, if you really know him.
So we have a young couple at church, and they are trying to do that thing where they want their kids to call adults by Mr. or Mrs.
Or doctor.
And so their son always tries to call me Andrew, Andrew, and he's a toddler. You know, he's and mom is always like, can you say Mr. Andrew? And I was like, listen, if you're going to put something
in... You might as well get it right.
If you're going to put something in front of it, which is not necessary, I'm fine with being Andrew.
Are you?
I'm fine with being Andrew.
It doesn't sound like you are.
I'm just saying...
You want the toddlers at church to call you Dr., Reverend, Pastor, Andrew Larson.
I said, you've got so many different ones to choose from.
The Reverend Doctor.
Why choose the most boring one?
Dr. Rev?
Yeah, I mean, I think...
Reverend Doctor
according to,
should be...
Right. Yeah, it's supposed to be the Reverend,
Reverend
Doctor.
I know.
Which is redonkulous.
Where's Andrew's church? In sunny,
beautiful
Safety Harbor, Florida.
Safety Harbor, Florida. Erica, if you're familiar with our sleepy little town, we are one block due north of the gazebo. Also known as John Wilson Park.
Andrew, we ended last week's show not on a downer, but on a bit of a cliffhanger.
It was a cliffhanger. We let people know, same bat time, same bat channel, find out if our Caped Crusader, that's how the old Batman show used to end. He was always about to die.
We mentioned bringing back a segment. It's a fan favorite. It's one we've hit on in the past. It just depends on our level of snark on Monday. Like, how tired are we? How snarky do we want to be?
There are some Snundays.
That's it.
Snarky Sundays, snarky. There are some days.
That's it.
Where we are snarkier than others.
Sure.
And those days, we usually need to listen to the Holy Spirit and shut up, because if we're not careful, we'll say something stupid. But sometimes we just say it anyway.
Look, at Lakeview Land yesterday, this was a weird week for me because I was field trip dadding.
You were field trip dadding. Hey, City Lights Church is commenting.
Don't even City Lights Church. Don't worry. We'll get there.
Scranton, the electric city.
We'll get there. Andrew, I need to tell you.
I'm ready.
A little bit of a confession for me. I did not feel adequately prepared to preach yesterday. The manuscript was done. You know what I'm saying? Manuscript was done. It was in front of me. But I did not spend the typical amount of time I would spend on a manuscript.
So what you're saying is you didn't go back and reread the manuscript?
I was reading it during worship practice. I don't do that. And there was a segment where I was like, I could feel it. Like, I'm missing. And I added to the manuscript during, and I don't remember the last time I did that. Added to the manuscript during the worship practice before first service. It was just a weird Sunday for me. Thankfully, we're in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, and we're hitting the proverbial wisdom stride. So it's just... It's like sitting down with Grandpa, and he's just got truth bomb, truth bomb, truth bomb. So I don't have to preach a
That's
ton.
That's how I typically feel about hanging out with you, sitting down with Grandpa.
So there were a lot of truth bombs. I don't know if I told Steph I'm worried that I might have a tangent or two, because if I'm not adequately prepared, I might talk too long. Is that...
So how long did you talk?
I have to go back and look. It didn't feel abnormally long. I think it was a 30-minute, 32-minute.
I was 36 minutes yesterday, and it felt long. It felt...
36 is not bad.
And I think my manuscript was trimmed down to 3,300, and so I was... And it was less scripture than I've been covering, because we've been in this passage, in this series, we're essentially covering a chapter of Genesis each and every week.
Mm-hmm.
So it was... 20-ish verses that I was covering instead of 45-ish. So that made it, the words in the manuscript were mostly my words. So I knew I was going to have to rush through some things. But why were you not as prepared as you wanted to be?
I was field trip dadding, which the field trip was on Thursday, and it just slipped my mind, and Thursday's my writing day.
Mm-hmm.
So it ended up taking my whole writing day. And then Friday, I participated in a community partnership event.
Yep. You were golfing.
It was a community partnership event.
You were golfing. It was a ministry fundraiser golf tournament.
Yes, for a ministry that we both love.
Yeah, it's a very important ministry, Door of Hope.
We love them very much.
Connecting churches and foster families. They are a wonderful organization.
Biblical foster care agency here in the Tampa Bay area. We love them dearly. I agreed to the golf tournament months ago, not even realizing I was field trip dadding on Thursday. So my backup writing day is Friday if I don't get it on Thursday. So that left me with Saturday, and
which is the day before Sunday.
That was tough. So I mean, it was literally like prepping and writing on Saturday, which does not ever happen.
So what is your typical process like? You finish writing, let's say Thursday.
Yes, I like to be done writing by Thursday.
Then when do you read over Saturday night?
Yes.
Okay.
So I will complete. I like to have most of the prep work done late Tuesday where I've done my reading, like most of my studying's done. So when I get to the hard stuff on Thursday, I've already done my reading. Then I can start writing based on, you know, my top two or three commentaries. And then
sermons you're ripping off.
Commentaries. And then Saturday.
I want to come back to that. Remind me, this is my pinky to come back to.
I mean,
to
if it's in my logo software, what do you mean to say?
Well, no, no one has issues with pastors saying, hey, this is directly from this commentary.
I know.
But directly from another sermon, how is it any different?
No.
So one is from a professor instead of a pastor?
I actually like this stuff from other pastors. Usually
it's better. It's more preachable.
Exactly.
A lot
of Ecclesiastes is from other sermons.
Yeah. We have been going through the patriarchs, and so we were in Genesis 32, so Jacob was wrestling with God. And so I opened with a story about my kids wrestling with me, and you know they know they're not going to win, but they still like to do it anyway.
Yep.
And so was kind of the illustration of...
I get it. That's a good one.
Of, you know, yes, there's a wrestle and there's a struggle, but there was never any doubt who the winner was going to be, and yet the wrestle still needed to happen. And so I had multiple people like, man, that was great. I was like, that is not mine. That is...
Okay.
I read similar illustrations in four different places this week, and I plugged in the names of my kids.
Yep. No, I've done that many times. People are like, wow, that was... I'm like, yep, I ripped that.
Although I was...
Last week, before I said it, I said, look, I didn't come up with this idea. I'm totally ripping this one.
As I was talking, I said, my three kids, which was not in anything but I was like, no, I've got four kids. But it was like, I was like just talking real fast. And
did you forget to replace
three? No, I just went, in my brain, I went back to 2016. And I forgot about Lewis. He's fine. He's fine.
So average sermon length and minutes, Jerry's wondering. I would say it varies 32 to 37. Like in that window is probably the sweet spot somewhere in there.
I am... 29 to 34.
Yeah. Okay. Not bad.
It's a communion Sunday, a little bit shorter.
Communion Sunday, try to tighten up the manuscript. If we have a baby dedication, if it's a baptism Sunday, it just depends on the Sunday. I mean, 30 minutes is probably doable any Sunday, just depending on what we have going on. Jerry says, seems like Tuesdays are sermon prep day. So is that true for you too? Are you studying before you're writing, or do you do it at the same time?
Tuesday is study.
Yep.
Really write. I try to write as much as I can Thursday. Sometimes it just doesn't happen all the way.
Yeah.
But that's the thing is I try not. That's what I wanted to see is when I'm finished with the manuscript, I close it. I save it to my Dropbox, and I try to only read it one time before I preach it because I always want to come across as – over prepared, under rehearsed.
Yeah,
I want people to know. There's lots more information that has been gleaned out of this, but this is not a rehearsed TED talk. This is.
I do the same thing. I'll read it through a single time Saturday evening right before bed.
But it's those paragraphs or those points that come from somebody else that are the ones that you have to read super carefully. You know,
if they
came from my brain and my fingertips, I can see, you know, a few words and know where the sentence is going.
Yep.
And it's always when it's, you know, if a point that you're borrowing or stealing from elsewhere, those are the ones that, like, ooh, I need to, maybe we should just put those in bold or something so it's easier to read as my eyes continue to betray me and go bad.
I think for me, if I am not adequately prepared, I typically don't have a strong close.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's
and you are a closer when we were
I like to close
together. It was I had the great opening illustration and we should be pilots together. I could take off, you could land.
I just like to bring it home.
I like to bring it home.
So yesterday's close, I'm
a leadoff hitter. You're a cleanup hitter.
It was a little different. We have a time of prayer at the end of each service, and I almost built the close into the time of prayer.
Mm.
So like, hey, as you're praying, and then I walked through the key application points, which were built into the text to have people pray over each application point. So that was, it was a little different. I don't know if it worked out well.
Sam says you can either be good or original, rarely both. And ain't that the truth?
Sam and I talk about this
all the time. Ain't that the truth?
Like if I hear or read something and I'm like, oh, I wish I had heard that, or I wish I had read that, or I wish a pastor had told me that, even if it doesn't come from my brain, I want to communicate that.
We are not called to create information. We are called to be able to give our people the information and direct them to where to find the good information.
If we're saying something no one else has ever said,
we are heretics.
Right? Like, that has to be true.
And again, I'm going to be careful here because I made the comment about, you know, studying the patriarchs and how, you know, the faith of quite literally the monotheistic world is on them. And I realized that by the time you get to Jacob, Islam has veered away from a lot of the Jacob narrative, but still, in general, if I'm saying something new about something that has been studied by not just Christian scholars, but also Jewish and Islamic scholars for all of
quite a few years,
at least a few the years. Past 2,000 years, going back at least, let's say, 4,000. Well, Genesis wasn't written for, you know, but since the time of Moses, I probably shouldn't be saying something unique in that setting.
Yeah.
That would be an issue.
Yeah. We're going to get to the City Lights Church. If you're looking for a good church in the Scranton, PA area, check out City Lights Church.
The Electric City Lights.
This is your weekly reminder. If you're in Scranton, PA, and you're looking for a sweet church, here's what City Lights says. Before we get to the ick, I need thoughts on serving dogs communion. Are you sure this isn't an ick? This sounds like an ick. A service dog came up for communion yesterday.
Well, it's different if it's a service dog.
Wait, oh, this is real.
I know.
Oh, this is real. Okay, here we go. I apologize. I should have read that before reading it out loud. A service dog came up for communion yesterday with his owner.
Here's the thing.
Should we have served the dog? But this is a good point. He was being a good boy.
I assume all service dogs are good boys. God.
City Lights Church might be my favorite YouTube church account right now.
I think so.
Like, based on this one comment, if you live in Scranton, PA, and you're not going to City Lights, are you even doing?
If you're an animal lover and a Jesus lover, where else would you want to be?
City Lights Church.
Tim.
Serving dogs communion for decades.
I probably wouldn't serve the dog.
Now, would I have a pup cup? Maybe. Would I have a pup cup on standby?
Would I have dog bowls in the fellowship time afterwards? Absolutely. We should start doing that.
But not during communion.
Not during communion. Now, that brings
really
up something.
It's a really funny question.
When we were discussing the dogs at church yesterday, one of my favorite theologians, a professor of mine, Dr. Michael Spiegel, who is the current chair of the theology department at Dallas Theological Seminary,
yes,
has an eschatological take that is fairly unique. And it's one of these where he says, I think I'm about 51% right here. And
he thinks he's about 47 on this one.
And he says that he thinks he's right, but if he's wrong, he's not going to have his feelings hurt.
Yeah.
But if part of what is happening in the resurrection is that we will be given the power that humanity was supposed to have in the Garden of Eden, that means that we have dominion over all of creation.
Okay.
He says in some of his newest writings, and he's also a great follow on X, used to be known as Twitter. It's just Spiegel, his last name, I think.
Formerly known as Twitter.
S-V-I, Spiegel. He believes.
Frequently tweets his eschatological views.
He does the Theology 101 tweets that go viral every now and then. They're pretty great. But he says that he is convinced that as followers of Jesus in the resurrection, we will have the authority over all creation to raise beloved pets from the dead. And I just think that would be like,
what a funny take.
And he's like, I realize that this is silly. And he's like, this is open-handed. I'm totally fine being wrong about this. But he's got backup for it.
I'm sure he does.
And my wife and I were discussing the other day, like, all right, so which dog, like, to find beloved pets.
Like, and is it like what's, like, is there, like, they have to be a certain species? Could I raise my reptiles?
Yes, it should. In theory, it's all creation. So
what if I didn't particularly like one, but I thought it'd be cool to have it back?
That's kind of what Melissa and I were saying. So our first dog that we had, Shadrach, who was great. He was like an engagement present for Melissa. He loved the two of us, hated everybody else. Would it be worth it? And then it's like, if we raise one of these beloved pets from the dead, do they have, like, eternal life? We're in the millennial kingdom at that point. I don't want to.
But now I'm going to tell my dog, if you're not going to be a good boy, you're done. You're not coming
this
back.
This is the only life you get. So I don't know. I'm not saying I adhere to that view. I'm saying that somebody that I know and respect deeply.
Wow. Wow, that's a lot of power.
But he's also, Spiegel is
that's
also
a lot of
convinced
power.
That we have the understanding of, you know, oh, in heaven, in the millennial kingdom, whatever it may be, the idea of human relationships won't be the same. He thinks that, no, we will be married, or, you know, there will be a spousal relationship that we will have with our earthly spouse.
Spouses. If your spouse died,
see, because, you know,
that's when it gets sticky.
That's where it gets sticky, but he's convinced that it is not as some teach where You know, we're not just sitting around worshiping constantly, but we have relationships with one another as well.
Yeah. Jerry says, I'm going to go no to the service dog getting communion, but dog treat in my pocket.
That's a good idea.
Thanks for pointing out something else I need to be ready for.
That's a great idea.
John, was this recent? John said we had a lady that kept bringing a rabbit in a dog stroller into the worship center during service.
Is that the ick that we've been, is that what we want to start with?
I love the rabbit in a dog stroller. So not like a dog in a human stroller. It's a rabbit in a dog stroller. Erica, a genuine question here. She has a guinea pig from third grade. She'd love to bring that guinea pig back.
Erica, I don't know. I think he has a new book coming out that you should check out, I'm assuming.
John says, all I'm picturing is Pet Sematary. He knows how this one plays
Again,
out. We've seen this before.
I am nowhere near the theologian he is.
Dan says, please leave Shadrach where we all know he currently is.
My brother.
Yes, Erica, we will all be
experienced that dog.
We will all be Dr. Doolittling. We'll be talking to our animals. Is that also
Do
part
remember
of theology?
He had that llama named Push Me, Pull You because it had a head on either side.
CJ says, just lay hands on them, then they won't need the service dog anymore. That
goes back to the communion, not the resurrection. That's a different thing.
Rabbit in a stroller is a good ick segue. Here we go. Let's get to it. Your ministry icks. How snarky are we feeling today? Andrew, we left off last week because you actually had a few you wanted to discuss.
We did, and we forgot. We were out of time. We had to record something else. We can go as long as you want with these icks.
I don't think we're recording anything else today. This is it. This could be several hours of, we'll just call it Andrew's icks.
No, they're your icks as well.
I might chime in.
And Tim, what concerns me is the first ick that I want to discuss is something that I think you might do.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
There's a possibility, and I know
we have not discussed this. I don't know what's coming.
You say to me all the time, do you really want to discuss communication styles because you mock me for sitting down and, you know, having neat little chats with people?
I do tend to take subtle jabs at you sitting down while preaching. Yes,
Tim,
I'll give you that.
Now, and we have been doing this with our podcast, now that it is so easy to you send your video to whatever AI service and they rip the cool little YouTube shorts,
sure,
TikToks, or
yeah,
Instagram videos,
yeah,
I'm seeing what it used to be that, you know, there are different pastors or ministries that I would follow, mm-hmm, and I would see 20 seconds of an actual sermon,
sure,
all year on whatever, but now it's real easy to just rip anything. You
haven't
hit
done
button.
It yet.
If you want, while we're sitting at lunch, I can show you.
I just don't want to be self-promo.
And that's the weird thing when you're at small churches.
And you're running the social media.
Exactly.
Account,
if somebody else was the one running it,
yeah, that's
it would be different. But
it
being that
weird.
I spent like 15 minutes this morning going through the 20-some clips that Opus Clip sent me from yesterday's sermon. Like, which one should I put out? But now I'm seeing people, and it's always the highlight of the sermon.
Yeah.
I was watching a guy that I know pretty well. And he kept amening himself, but as a question.
Oof, I don't do
he's,
that.
Okay, that was, that's what
that.
Concerned me.
Can't.
It wasn't like a, can I get an amen?
Amen?
But he was,
no.
Yeah, it was,
no.
You know, and that's why Jesus has done this for us. Amen? And it was like the amen pause.
It's almost like you're,
wait to get it back.
You're wanting the response.
And
you think, if I say amen, I'm going to elicit a response.
And like everything in me just puckered all at once. It was like, ooh.
Like you thought I did that.
I thought you did, and I was afraid of hurting your feelings here.
It wouldn't have hurt my feelings. I hope you would have called me out years ago for doing that.
But
no,
it might just be a preaching style that some people have.
I think
this is not like an old guy in like a three-piece suit from JCPenney. It's like a young-ish, hip-ish kind of guy.
But Andrew, you and I went to churches growing up where that was a thing.
No. Pastor Procknow would never.
You don't think so?
No, the church that, so the indie fundy church that I went to might have been like the most un-indie fundy pastor ever.
Huh.
Typically
the indie fundy pastors are.
No, he was not a fire and brimstone. He was very,
very
understated, even in his preaching style. But I don't know that he would have. Now, my youth pastor definitely would have done the self amen.
Mm.
And that's a.
I can't do it.
That's like saying clap for me.
Yeah, I agree.
Or that's a good point. I must agree to it out loud. Now, we don't have a huge culture of people chirping back while I'm preaching in general at Safety Harbor Community Church.
You get laughter.
There's laughter sometimes.
You
and if
laughter.
People are chirping back, it's usually not in one of those very serious moments. So maybe there's that, but the...
Yeah. Jerry says, please clap.
That's kind of what it is, though, right?
I can't do it.
The...
Matt says, amen is the IFB being raised in that. My favorite. Mm. I went to the store this week. Amen.
So, Tim, that's my ick number one.
I don't do the amen.
The amen to your own point as an emphasis trying to get it echoed back.
John, I need to formally apologize.
It feels like that's always done with someone who's preaching with a handheld mic.
Oh, for sure.
Which might be my other ick just tacked on to this. I can't, and that's just a personal thing. It's nothing biblical about or unbiblical about preaching the handheld mic. I just can't do it.
I can't do it.
I can't.
John says, I got called out from the pulpit about the amount of monsters in my fridge during service. So here's what happened. I told you I was adequately underprepared.
Mm-hmm.
I did not feel fully prepared. So I was in a bit of a tangent, and I was talking about how Solomon said you need to have someone who can call you out.
Yeah.
I was just kind of recapping Ecclesiastes chapter 7, and I glanced, and I happened to see John Perrone sitting there, and I thought, you know, like someone should probably say, you have way too many Monster Energy drinks in your fridge. John may or may not have a fridge full of Monster.
I saw a thing.
He looked at me. His wife just looked straight, didn't say a word.
I saw a thing. It was like they were doing an autopsy on some guy. He like dropped dead at like 53, 54, and he was a guy that drank like nothing but energy drinks, and his blood, they said, was sticky. Like there was so much.
John, is your blood sticky?
We should cut him and find out.
CJ says, this could be an ick right here in itself. I'm good with one clip of your sermon, but I've seen some guys with like 6 to 7 clips from the same sermon. No wonder their Facebook says they're a digital creator.
CJ, I get it, but I upload a 36-minute sermon to Opus Clip. Hang on, While Tim is talking, I will pull it up.
We should get
an affiliate link from them because that's what we're doing with our podcast
stuff,
too.
You see, 1 to 2 max, you don't...
I've been doing a one sermon, and I've called it sermon recap.
That's fine.
That I'll post
One sermon recap is fine. If there was a particularly great segment that just needed to be out there, 2 is probably more than enough. But if you're like every other day is a post of...
Of me talking.
That feels like a bit of an issue to me. City Lights Church has a follow-up ick to your amen. How about holding the mic towards the audience as they say amen? That's a next level ick.
I got 25 clips that are about, some of them are up to a minute and 30 seconds long. I should have clicked on the I want them under a minute. But I didn't do any editing, and they do it all. So that's why I think people are posting them every day. Because
they get so many.
It doesn't cost any more for the service if you use one.
Erica says, Night at the Roxbury, amen. You amen? Me amen? You amen? I love
Night at the Roxbury.
It's underrated.
It holds up.
Still funny.
It holds up.
John says he had a monster in the chair next to him. Yes, you did.
Going back to the holding the microphone towards the audience, maybe I can't preach with a handheld mic because I don't understand how you have to EQ some of these handheld mics. I watch the guys that they're holding the mic like down by their belly button.
Just sits on the tummy.
And it's still picking up beautifully.
I don't know how they do it.
How does that work? The handheld mic sound guy's
working very hard.
Yeah.
That's just it.
There's the church that have the tape on the floor. If you stand between here and here, everything's great. If you step out, you're going to get the feedback sound or...
Yep.
I don't know, but it gives me the ick, Tim. I can't ask for an amen to my own point.
Jerry says, I hate ear hanging mics.
I'm not a fan. I get that. And as someone who dangles the cord over my shoulder, I understand that I am no one to talk about how someone uses a microphone.
Well,
it's just something that bugs me.
You took my ick. There's no reason for the cord to be exposed if you're wearing an over the ear microphone. The cord literally is meant to go right. You can even have it down your back. No reason to be over the shoulder.
I'm trying to be better about flipping it over my shoulder these days.
And you even wear...
I know, but...
Do you wear undershirts?
Tim, I'm a...
It can go in between the shirt and the undershirt. I don't wear undershirts, so I've got cable on skin.
I'm a chubbier dude these days.
I've got cable on skin. I run it through my shirt.
I'd have to loosen the tie. I'd actually have to probably take off the tie and then retie the tie.
Yeah. To get the mic cable dropped?
Yeah.
What is the sound guy for? That's what he's there for.
We don't have a sound... I am the sound guy. We are a set it and forget it kind of church, Tim. We don't have these big Lakeview budget things that you guys do. Tim, when I got here, there were 37
says,
people.
Preach it, Tim. Come on, Andrew. Can I get an amen? Can I get an amen on no need
or,
for the microphone cable to be exposed?
We're getting to the point where it might be time to have a dedicated sound guy, but we are 100 people on a good week.
Adam says, Adam, I totally agree. There's literally a clip on the cord itself. You clip it right here, and it falls.
I can maybe clip it on the back of my collar.
Yes. It's time.
My shoulders
Thank
aren't
you.
Flexible. I'm going to need some help.
Adam says his ick, handheld wireless mic 3 feet away from your mouth. That's kind of what you were getting at there.
But I don't understand it's the ick, but
ben
also...
Ben jumping into the amen.
How does it work?
Look
how does it
that.
Sound so good? But also, if you're going to have the wireless, you need to tilt it towards your face. Like, that's...
You don't want
to... Yes.
Jerry says, and this could be a personal problem, it might be his freakishly large ears that are the problem. The over-the-ear mic.
I didn't want to say anything, but we were all thinking it, Jerry. It's not true. I've never thought of your ears before this moment.
Oh, boy.
Tim, I have another ick.
Oh, no. Is this one directed at me?
No, this is the only one that I feared was directed at you, and maybe it's because I was sat behind your daughter who was amening vigorously on Christmas Eve.
That we do have ameners in the
crowd.
You
have ameners.
And let me be clear, that's not the ick. I have no problem with people acknowledging a good point or a powerful moment like an amen or that's fine. The issue is the pastor
asking for the amen,
seeking that feedback in the middle, like that would be the ick segment there. I think we're pretty clear. Okay, Adam, great question. What do you have, double ear or single ear? So I went from the single ear to the double ear because it provided a sturdier connection to my cranium.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got the double ear, but it only comes out one side.
Yeah.
Do you have that?
No, I'm a single ear. I have had the double ear before, and it's nice, Tim.
It's nice. Very nice. Matt says, we had a guy at my first church who couldn't decide between sound booth and singing. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Speaking of icks, he hooked up a mic and sang from the sound booth.
Yeah, that's
a while ago.
Do you know what? I'm gonna just call it that is an ick. It's an ick, Tim.
City Lights Church double is the best. Agree. And yes, John, you are right. Steve Miller is the best at amening. He may or may not have quite the loud amen.
Do you think that your dad just loves you more than my dad loves me? Because my dad does not amen.
Oh, 100%.
Now,
you knew that, though. You already knew that.
My father sat by himself yesterday because my mom had promised my mom had promised the older two of my kids that she would sit outside with them. So maybe that was part of the, overflow. If Gigi and the Larson boys are sitting outside, then all the cool kids want to sit outside. I think my kids just want to sit outside because of the dogs.
Mm-hmm.
But so my dad just sat in there like a trooper with his wife and grandkids.
Wow.
Being outside during service yesterday.
Yeah, you ready for this one? CJ's got an ick. I wrestled with God all night last night for this message. And I've got something to say today. So basically, you didn't prepare all week, so we're going to hear the same thing you always say.
Yeah, that's an ick.
Wow.
That is an ick.
And people who post their sermon clips online, I've actually heard that. Like numerous times.
I wrestled all night and here's what I came up with.
Yeah. Or the, I just got a word from the Lord this morning. I'm like, what are we doing?
But
fam?
What were you doing the rest of the week?
Does the Lord only speak at
only
like Sunday
out of
night,
desperation.
Like Sunday mornings? And
I only write my papers when they're, 3 hours before they're due.
John cannot handle more than 3 worship songs. Let's go there. Is more than 3 too many? This is coming from a church member, okay? So where are we at? Where are you at? How many worship songs do you do in service? Depending on the Sunday, we'll do either 3 or 4. Sometimes 3 before the sermon, 1 after the sermon.
See, I'll give you a different kind of ick, and I appreciate what you're saying, John, but when I first started here, they had a very, I don't want to say like regimented, but it was the... order of worship did not ever change, and it was adapted from a old Presbyterian order of worship that was,
I get it,
kind of stand up, sit down, so song, announcement, song, whatever. And so the break between every song gives me the ick, because it usually takes me a song and a half to get my brain right.
I'm not a big fan of breaking up the worship set. I do enjoy the three or four songs straight through.
So we have the two-song set and then the prayer moment, like the corporate prayer
part of our service. We do our corporate prayer afterwards. Right.
But you also do multiple services. And so now do you have a closing song?
Depends on the Sunday. Not regularly.
Exactly. So you can send your praise team that has been there since 7 in the morning.
When they're done with the worship set, they can, in the second service. They
exactly.
Can.
So that's,
and that's that, that's on purpose.
That's a great way to do it.
Erica says she's got a Lakeview game for us. Can you amen before Steve during the service? Ooh. Good luck. He's going to start amening during announcements.
You should get some bingo cards for that.
City Lights Church says, we have people that throw up rock hands. I love this. When they hear something good, just as good as an amen. I'm like, that's like, are you a punk rock church?
Is it like a silent disco thing? Like we're going to just thrash without. I think that's a great idea. Tim, are you ready for my next ick?
I am, but I've got to get through these because some of these are pretty good. Laura says some worship anthems, and this could. So Laura's ick has come out. We just found it out. Some worship anthems are the length of three songs. So John, I guess this would be the take here.
When you say three songs, if it's three-minute songs, that's a 9-minute worship set.
That's short.
That's short.
That's very short.
But a 12-minute set or a 15-minute set, that's
So what we've been doing is we've been doing a tag at the end of the third song. So we did doxology as a tag on to the third song. So we didn't technically do four songs yesterday. We did three with a tag. So
my wife, who did not grow up being churched, as we say, whenever she hears the doxology, she doesn't think of, glory.
I do.
Just the, doxa. But anyway, what she thinks of is Little Women. The
what?
The Christian Bale Little Women movie from the 90s, because the first time that she ever heard the doxology was when they were in church in Little Women. And so when she hears the doxology, she thinks of, Joe and Lori sitting in church singing the doxology.
City Light says three up front, one at the end. That to me is probably the sweet spot.
Yeah.
It's tough to do when you have multiple services.
We do two, prayer, one, and then a closer.
Okay,
I wish we did three all at once.
This actually is an ick of mine.
I'm ready.
I'm glad you brought it up, CJ. Auctioning off announcements from the stage instead of already having a list of announcements. So I heard this done at a church recently where,
if you'd like to make an announcement, it'll be $5.
It was basically, I think they had a set list of announcements, and then it was anything else we need to talk about.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it was a live stream. So I'm watching the live stream of this, there's a food pantry needs help downtown. I'm like,
as the person who makes the announcements, I look at Shirley as I'm making them, oh no, is there anything I'm forgetting? But I also have the most responsible member of our church, who is a third grade girl, come up with a list of announcements with me. So she's my official helper, which makes it easier to remember what's going on, because she usually keeps me on track.
So I gave up announcements quite a few years ago,
which did.
I'm good with that. I'm still in, I know what the announcements are going to be. They're sent to me, they're approved, and we know what's going to be announced. And sometimes I'll say, X this one, we need to add this one, or let's tighten this up a little bit. But we typically, if Thursday has come and gone, you're not getting it announced on Sunday. Mm. That's kind of the general rule of thumb. And the other one, we got this from Brady Shear. If the announcement does not cover 50% of the congregation or more, it does not get announced.
It doesn't need to be made, yeah.
That's typically how we've been rolling. I don't know if that's right or wrong.
I think that makes sense. I think that makes a whole lot of sense.
How about this one? Anthony says, the whole greet your neighbor thing. Ick. Some people would agree. Some people would disagree.
Some people love it. We have not really brought it back. I think we've done it once since COVID.
It doesn't bother me either way. We do it at Lakeview. People seem to enjoy it. It gives the band a chance to get everything set. An argument could be made that the band should already be up there and playing a light bed of music behind the announcement, so it's not just this awkward
transition moment.
Yeah, and when you just have one person standing and no music going behind them while they're talking, it feels a little dry in the air. So something we could talk about.
So, Tim, one of the reasons that I do the announcements here at Safety Harbor Community Church.
Safety Harbor, Florida.
In Safety Harbor, Florida. The jewel of Tampa Bay, as some of our signs say, is that when
Jerry's got a new shirt. We do three with a tag.
When I first started here, we had some of our friends that were leading worship for us because our worship leaders were out, and it had been, 2 or 3 months since I had been here.
Yep.
And I was not the one doing the announcement. Someone who had been at the church longer than me was handling that. And we were out to lunch after, and it was, hey, why do you do it that way? Because knowing you and knowing, you know, how brief of a time you've been at the church, it almost feels like you are still the guest preacher coming in that way.
Yeah.
So now it's obviously different for each and every scenario.
Sure.
But it was like until your people really get to know you, and I don't take announcements super seriously. So, you know, you get to be lighthearted and silly during announcements.
Our announcement and time is definitely the lightest portion of the service.
And so let people see that side of you.
Yep.
And so I've started doing announcements then and have never stopped. But
do you still throw out candy?
I don't. I did that at Faith, my previous church.
I remember that. I thought it was
because
hilarious.
We had three announcements that were the same every week, and then one might change. And so it was name that announcement if you. And so
that's
instead
funny.
Of me.
No, that's funny.
And it's when it was. What it was when our associate pastor was preaching, then I would do the announcements because the senior pastor, he couldn't do the announcements well. He was a preacher, not an MC.
Yep.
And so I would do the announcements then. And so when it was once a month that I was doing the candy shtick, it was funny. But then when I moved into the associate role and it was an every week Andrew's doing the candy thing, I spent a lot of money on candy.
I'm sure you did.
When all was said and done.
Hey, back to the greet your neighbor thing. John actually brings up a good point. He says there's a great advantage for the safety team to approach anybody of concern.
That's true.
If you know, statistically speaking, if someone is greeted or just said, hey, how are you doing? Like their guard is typically let down. So if there's someone of concern, the greeting time is a time for a safety team member to go and just approach someone and kind of lower that guard, which could prevent a disastrous situation.
It could.
I think that alone might be an argument in favor of the greeting time. That's pretty good.
One of the reasons that we have said that we haven't brought it back since COVID is because 60 or 70% of our congregation sticks around after service.
You already have it.
We have the community around the table time each and every week.
CJ says we use different board members. I love this. Different board members or elders to do announcements so people can see, hear from them.
I'm so sorry.
We do that too.
Just came in. The Rays City Connect.
Oh, what took you so long? I've already been texted.
Why haven't?
Like, I don't know. I'm going to have to look at them. It looks like I'm going to play laser tag.
Yeah, it does look like laser tag.
It's pretty funny. I don't hate them. Andrew's looking at the new Rays uniforms, the City Connect uniforms.
Well, hide the fact that we're 3 games under .500.
I'm not going to talk about that. I am not going to talk about that. All right, you got the another ick. I'm listening. I'm ready for it.
I don't know if this is specific to ministry because I've
if
never
been. If it's specific
been,
to Lakeview, I'm going to punch you.
I have never been in any other vocation.
I don't think I have either.
But the emails that I get from ministry organizations that because I am a pastor, they think I should give them the time of day to go after this. They drive me nuts. They make me ick.
That's an ick. There's almost a level of entitlement that comes across in these emails.
It was I've never met you, and yet I should be entitled to 20 minutes of your time. Hey, let's set up a call this week. Why would I set up a call with you? I don't know you.
Like, I'm meeting with a dozen church members. Like, why would I meet?
I'm having coffee with, you know, a single mom who is teetering on the edge, but I'm going to postpone that so that you can try to sell me something.
And then maybe you'll get stage time on a Sunday. And they never go after a medium to larger size church because they know it's not going
to
happen.
They know they're going to have to go through three secretaries to get to somebody. I was talking to our good buddy Dylan. We used to be able to cut to the Dylan cam, but now if we cut to the Dylan cam,
it's nothing.
It just goes to black.
Sorry.
It's very sad.
FT.
But we used to be able to just cut to the Dylan cam, but he is now teaching at a very large Christian school in our area.
Yep.
And part of him teaching at that Christian school means that he has to be a member of the church. And I was talking to him the other day just because we're buddies, and I was checking in on him and seeing how things are going. And he said, the church feels a lot smaller than he thought it would because he's never been a member of a several thousand person church before. He said, but it's so weird that he has to like talk to two or three secretaries before he can just like go into his buddy's office.
Yeah.
Because he's like, you were the senior pastor and I would like come and like let myself in and plop down on your couch.
The dynamics are a bit different.
And
Not good or bad.
No,
just
different.
Just different.
And I think the people that make their money off of, the parachurch ministries that make their money off of church budgets know that.
Oh, 100%.
And so they go hard after
There's a reason we get the emails more often than not. I've got an ick for you. Are you ready for this one?
Can I read the email that I sent back?
Oh, you did. Oh, you need to hear this. Andrew told me about this. This is important.
This might have been mean.
Andrew was feeling extra spicy.
I was feeling extra.
Snark level was way
after
above
a long week.
Way above 10.
Also, Tim.
Yep.
Pastor is a job. You don't call yourself, like, if you leave Lakeview and you hypothetically go into the funeral industry because you have family ties and you can make a whole lot of money.
Yep.
You don't get to call yourself Pastor Tim anymore.
That
if you
correct.
Are not actively pastoring, you can still be Reverend Tim. The Reverend carries with you.
I'm not.
But the
I'm not pastoring a local church, the pastor title's gone.
And so I get an email from Pastor Kevin. I'm not going to say his last name. But he is a senior consultant with Life Catalyst Consulting.
Okay.
Life Catalyst has a great ministry team of pastors and consultants with many valuable years of ministry in all areas of ministry.
Okay.
And he goes kind of like lists his resume of how he's been serving the church and now churches for over 16 years. So 17 or 16 years in one day. That's an odd number to say over there.
Through pastoral counseling, coaching,
yeah.
and leading
and so
in
he,
all areas
so
of ministry.
So he's no longer
pretty big deal.
Serving in a local church. Therefore, you don't call yourself Pastor Kevin. Kevin.
He's
you're
not a pastor.
You're just Kevin.
Sorry.
True. That's true. If you were in a denominational role,
this is not a denominational role.
You could be a pastor, yep. two pastors. That's absolutely.
This is not that scenario. Though.
At that point, are you a bishop? That's another conversation.
This is just Kevin.
But this is just Kevin. Your name is Kevin, not Pastor Kevin. And
Andrew's feeling.
What is the best day or time that we can connect and have a complimentary strategy session for you and your church?
Okay.
And so
all right. That's the ask. And now let's
and
hear
so
the response.
I replied, Kevin, sounds like you have a lot on your plate. I have a doctorate in ministry leadership focusing on pastoral burnout. Let me know if you need someone to chat with.
Wow.
And I was so proud of myself.
Did he respond?
Until he responded that, it's somewhere in buried in here. He said, you know, shoot me your resume if you ever want to do any consulting work. To which I was like, no, I'm good actually serving the church.
Wow.
But it really chapped my biscuits, Tim.
Yeah, that'll get them going. That will get them going.
New shirt. You're just Kevin.
I've got an ick for you.
I'm ready. What's the ick?
I think we've all lived in this area at some point in
Greater Tampa Bay?
Our ministry careers.
Oh, okay.
It's when the church expects the staff member's spouse to serve or basically lead a specific. For example, the lead pastor's wife should be in charge of the women's ministry.
Well, who else would be?
And see, that I can't.
Who else would be?
We don't have a kids ministry person. Of course, the pastor's wife should be the kids ministry person.
See, here's the problem
now,
with that ick.
If the lead pastor's wife is like, I would love to serve in that area as a volunteer, that's awesome.
Absolutely.
But if there is an unnecessary expectation placed on the spouse of a staff
why would
member,
we pay two people when we already pay one?
Churches are notorious for this. It's a two for the, and I actually heard an elder say this once to me. No, it's like we're getting two for the price of one, to which I responded, no, we're not.
That is a good way to get.
If you want to ruin the marriage.
Yeah. If you want to ruin a marriage
you want
and
kids
have
to hate the church forever,
an employee for 13 months, that's the way to do it.
See, that one did not sit well with
me. The awkward part of that for us is that my wife is like the one female in the church that's not true because we have Joan Hill. So we have a female in the church with an MDiv, but then Melissa is the only person who has a Bible college degree. She has a Bible minor, and she's also when you are a Bible minor with an elementary ed major, then it's kind of hard to argue about kids ministry because, hey, the two degrees that would be best suited for leading a children's ministry. So there's that. But yeah, let me tell you, boy, does my wife enjoy not having an official role at the church during this season.
See, Lates says,
so much happier.
I got a nick for you. When the pastor says, let me quote a great theologian, then proceeds to quote Taylor Swift or Chance the Rapper.
Except that it's funny every now and then.
It can be funny.
It's funny. One of my favorites
is... It can be funny, but it can be overused.
...is, as the great theologian Garth Brooks once said, some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers.
City Lights, you struck a nerve with Andrew because it's something he does, and it's someone else's ick.
I don't know that I've ever quoted Taylor Swift in a
CJ
sermon.
Says, forget yet. Tampa's new uniforms. I saw this morning.
I saw the Mufasa trailer.
Mufasa trailer is out. I'm going to watch that later.
Ooh.
Jerry says no.
That ooh was supposed to be like when the hyenas are talking about Mufasa.
No two for one deals with pastor and spouse. Laura, I'm glad you brought this up because my mom was the church pianist. This was absolutely the expectation. There was a time in church history where if you were the lead pastor, the wife was expected to play the piano or the organ. And my mom filled that role. And I look back and think, why are we placing these expectations?
My older sister, Christine Marie Waring, has a degree in church ministries from about as complementarian as a college as you can go to. Mm-hmm. And so while my sister was earning her degree in church ministries, the joke was, so your plan is to marry a pastor and type a bulletin? And she did not like that joke very much.
Wow.
And so naturally she has a master's degree in reading education because, she's also not married to a pastor. Shout out Dan for actually providing a house and things like that for my sister and nieces that, you know, not that we provide houses for our kids too, but my sister does not need to play the piano and type a bulletin as her vocation.
Yeah. And there was a
season. And if someone wants to play the piano and type a bulletin,
saying, like, that's fine.
Awesome.
There was a season where when I was a youth pastor, Stephanie was alongside me in youth ministry. It was awesome. She was a small group leader. And then we had our third child and she needed to step away for a season. I was so good with that.
Yeah.
That was necessary at that time. I feel for the guys and the gals whose spouses have these unrealistic expectations. And then, Andrew, you basically studied this in your doctoral program of pastoral burnout. And this plays a major role
in that. It plays a huge role. And kind of that whole happy wife, happy life, unhappy wife at the church, you're not sticking around.
No.
Period.
No,
it's
agree.
Not how it's going to last.
Totally agree.
Tim,
are you icked out?
I'm kind of icked out. One thing we didn't hit on was Lakeview opened a disc golf course.
We did. Let's talk about it. Okay. If you didn't already know, over the last 18 to 24 months, we've been planning and clearing and plotting.
It looks beautiful.
A new disc golf course. It's called Romans Road, and there's a different scripture at every hole. It's a new disc golf course at Lakeview Church, and we have had...
I just had a giant coffee ground on my tongue.
We haven't even been fully open to the public for a week, and hundreds, Andrew, hundreds.
Plural of, hundreds.
How great is that? Most of them don't even attend Lakeview. I was just out and about on the course on Wednesday, happened to talk to a couple, husband and wife. They came back-to-back days, unchurched. We're so thankful that we opened up this disc golf course. If you don't know the area, there's nothing around
Lakeview.
The
nearest disc golf course to you is here by me.
You got to come to Clearwater, Oldsmar, or way, way north to find anything. So for us, it was a big win. Part of our future strategy is opening up our property to the community. So whether that be fishermen, fishers of men, or throwing discs, come on down to Lakeview.
I love it. I am kind of confused as to why there are 12 holes, because that's not how golf works. But
so,
I don't play disc golf because...
In the disc golf community, anything divisible by three is an acceptable number of holes.
So in theory, you could have a three-hole course?
Yes.
Doesn't sound like a very fun...
Several Calvary campuses in this area have three-hole courses.
Really?
Yeah. Because the guy who designed it said, I put some in at Calvary.
Okay.
So what we did do, however, is we put in short and long tee pads. So you can play, you could technically play like 24.
Gotcha.
We also have several short tee hole, like actual holes.
I've seen like municipal golf courses like that. They're like, hey, this is a par three. And then they just move the pin or the tee box back 100 yards.
So we have two separate.
It's the same hole, but you can play it as a par three or a par four.
We're currently raising a few extra funds to put in a second basket at every hole. So that it will be 20, hopefully 24, which would be cool.
That'd be exciting.
Lots of different ways to play. It takes about an hour to play the shorts, about an hour and 20 to play the longs. And if you could play the shorts and then the longs and the longs to the shorts. So lots of variations to play.
When you are doing this, do you envision there being Lakeview Classics, like the annual disc golf
That's
tournament?
The plan. Yep. Yep. So we're already in talks with a couple of area pastors up by us to host our first tournament. And then we are also talking with the guys who helped install the course for what would it look like to do an official, like real tournament here. Like, could we pull it
like
off?
Like on ESPN The Ocho?
That's what we want. That's exactly what we want. John's wondering who's diving the lake to collect the discs. My first disc went in the water yesterday. My brother took his shoes and socks off, went into the water, and retrieved my disc.
That's what brothers are for.
We're gonna have a box that we're going to install. It's going to be a lost and found, and we'll put it in the box, and then we will check the box once a week and make sure everyone gets their discs back. That's the future plan there.
I think that's a great plan, Tim.
I'm excited.
Tim, I love it. I love it. As someone who's got 35 families a week on our campus that don't attend here.
Yep.
I completely get it.
When are we going to play? How's your shoulder?
I mean,
have you recovered since the surgery?
No, it's can we?
Oh, did you hear that?
I don't know if they hear that or not.
I heard it.
Well, my shoulder is not one designed for disc golf, but that's okay. I can use my wrist.
One of these Mondays, we'll broadcast live from Lakeview Land and maybe
live from the Romans Road.
Maybe we'll march on out to Romans Road and
we'll wear our Rays City Connect jerseys.
I've got some extra discs for you.
You need a driver, a putter.
You got a driver, a mid-range, and a putter. You need those three for sure, and then you probably want a few more in between.
Can I wear one of those cool fanny packs where I keep my discs?
We could wear it. You could carry it. Mm. You could roll it. I've seen all of the above. CJ says, sounds like Andrew preaching with that mic cable rubbing his shirt.
Well, CJ, I think that's where we're going to leave it.
That's exactly where we're going to leave it. We'll be here same time, same place. Maybe.
Next week.
Maybe. Maybe.
I can't wait.
What if we go to Lakeview?
I mean, we might.
We'll be here. We'll see if it's a different location.
Next week, Tim, I am in town Monday and Tuesday, and then I head up to Lynchburg Land to wear my ridiculous outfit. We haven't even talked about this. We'll hit it either next week or the week after.
You're going to hear more about Andrew's next trip. He hasn't taken enough in the last few weeks.
Well, you will be marching at Liberty University to be given a rolled up piece of paper.
Are you going to be marching with that Sean dude with like a snare drum? And
no.
Is that you? You do that, right?
No.
Isn't that what you do?
Boy, that's an ick.
Should we talk about that? We should not talk about that ick.
That is an ick.
We're not going there. We'll be here same time, same place next week. Andrew, we're
not going
there.
Also, he needs a haircut.
We're not going there.
I also need a haircut.
We're not going there. Same time, same place. See you guys.
Bye.